welcome to the Comicast, Ireland's number one comic book podcast. I'm Greg.
I'm Liam.
And we're here with our St. Paddy's Day special.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, considering St. Paddy's Day is over,
yeah,
and we're recording this on Mother's Day.
Yeah.
I mean, and it won't even be Mother's Day. Mother's Day will have passed also.
Sure.
So how was this special?
It was St. Paddy's Day yesterday. That is what is special. And it is Mother's Day today.
Well, I was kind of thinking for Mother's Day, we should have got our mothers to
do
the show.
That would be amazing. Done. Let's, okay, the show is over. But tell me, how did you celebrate St. Patrick's Day?
I didn't. I didn't do anything. I didn't even wear green. I did nothing. It just passed me by completely.
Nice.
Didn't even watch a parade. How did you?
I do the same thing every year. I do every year, which is sort of pull down the blinds and just hide inside. And then I expect that, like, on a Sunday morning, when I turn up, pull up the blinds, it'll be like the road, you know, there'll just be fire and bodies everywhere. You know, I won't have been involved. And I'll just have to go around town with my shotgun, shooting off the remaining survivors, stealing cans of beans. So I didn't do it, and I didn't even... I had like one beer last night, three beers, but I regretted it this morning, man, to be honest. I was just saying, because I woke up, you know, no hangover, unlike say 90% of the population, and like everyone else this morning got up and said, it was like, oh, my head feels so bad, but they knew that they would feel better as the day went on, while I woke up and knew this is the best I'm gonna feel.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Did you see that video of an American newscaster on Fox, and they're kind of doing a piece on St. Patrick's Day, and it comes back to the news anchor, a guy and a girl, back in studio, and the woman turns to the guy and is like, you know, you've been to Ireland, haven't you? Do they all say "Shiver me timbers" there? It's like, what?
Pirates.
Yeah. The guy didn't even correct her. It was just nuts.
Yes, they do. It's their national motto. Anyway.
What's coming up on the show?
Yeah, you're asking me because I see I have loads of notes and you have not
a cup
single
of tea.
You've got a cup of tea. Yeah. So I'm going to review some comics. And then I'm going to review some more comics. That's going to take a few minutes. And then, sorry, I'm just trying to find my notes here. They're in the wrong order.
Oh, they are. Yes, I printed them out.
So I have got my hands on a copy of the Deadpool script. So I will review the script. That will be spoilerific, probably, because the movie's not going to get made. So I feel totally entitled to spoil that. I won't spoil it too much. And then we get some news. And that's really it.
And I should point out, for listeners, is that you're wearing a Captain America hoodie.
I am.
Right now. It's quite amazing.
Sure. It's got the hood and everything.
Yeah.
The cowl.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I will be wearing it on the Avengers when I go see it. So.
It feels like I'm doing the podcast with Captain America.
Excelsior. I don't know. Captain America doesn't have a...
America!
yeah, that's his catchphrase. Okay, anyway, let's talk about some comics. First comic I will review this week is Saga, issue 1.
Okay.
By the new comic by Brian K. Vaughan, who did Why the Last Man and Runaways, and he wrote on Lost for three series. Or four, maybe. And the artist of the piece is Fiona Staples, who I'm not familiar with at all. I before I review it, I will just say, I bought this comic, I've now converted fully, I'm a fully digital man when it comes to comics. Well. I bought this on my iPhone, I read it on my iPhone.
On your iPhone?
On my iPhone.
It's not really small.
It is kind of small, but I'm looking to get an iPad in the near future. So I'm sort of buying it now to have when I... Not that it'll disappear, but I'm justifying it that way. But I read on my phone on the train. And I like that, just being able to buy an issue of comic just for €2 and just press the button and it's there. And it's there the day that it comes out in the shop.
Yeah.
So, you know, fuck you, Forbidden Planet, Summer City, Big Bang. I'm just going to buy my stuff on the iPhone. No, support your local retailers. But yeah, I'm totally digital and it's totally cool. So the story of this is, it starts off with two different guy and a girl who are clearly from two different species. One has sort of like ram horns on his head. The lady has like fairy wings, and she's given birth, and there's clearly some guys outside trying to get in and kill them. And they come in and they're crazy. They've got like TVs on their heads. TVs for heads, and so this crazy is complete. This comic is completely fucking bonkers, which is something I love. And it doesn't bother explaining anything. There's a bit where there's a crocodile wearing like a butler outfit, you know, that's fine. Don't worry yourself about the details. And the basic story, I guess, these guys are from two warring planets. And, you know, so it's sort of a doomed love. Mm. They shouldn't have gotten together. Their baby's going to be some sort of crazy hybrid super bitch. And nobody wants that. And so they're on the run. And there's people from both sides of the war fighting them. And there's just all these crazy races and stuff. Because apparently sort of the war has expanded from not just these two planets, but all the planets in the galaxy. So every planet is... or every race is decided, I'm either with these guys or I'm with these guys. So there's just loads of crazy fucking shit going on. And I guess I won't spoil too much more than that. There's a couple of antagonists that are sort of introduced. There's a woman with a unicorn horn on her head. I just want to get across how crazy this shit is, right? So it's like this weird sort of adult fairy tale thing. And it's really fucking cool. I really like just how crazy it is. Again, it's only one issue, so I won't say much more to the story.
Okay.
But it's a really good... it ends really well. It's a really good first issue, and you really like these characters. The art, man. Fiona Staples. This girl can draw. I assume she's a girl. Fiona. Maybe it's like an Italian boy's name. I don't know. but just like... Just I don't even know how to describe it, but like it is a fairy tale and it fits that kind of thing in really big panels, almost like it's like a kid's fairy tale book or something. Just really big panels. It's just really good stuff. A little bit like a Lionel Hughes work, maybe. This is a really good first issue for a comic, and I'm really excited to read more. And I want to rip out. I shouldn't have bought digital because I can't rip out the pages and stick them on my wall. Unless I buy
take that digital
47 iPhone and stick them all to my wall. Oh, I should say the first issue is like double size as well. So there's a lot of bang for your 239 on Comixology. The Darkness Origins, written by.
This is not about the band.
And moving on. no, it's not. Written by Carl Ennis and art by Mark Silvestri, I guess is how it's pronounced. The Darkness. I got this free with a video game. The Darkness.
What video game?
The Darkness.
Oh.
The Darkness 2. And this is actually why I got into my digital comic thing, because this came with two free digital copies of The Darkness Origins Volume 1, Volume 2. Excuse me. And The Darkness, I guess, if you don't know, if you've been living under a rock and not playing every video game that comes out, The Darkness is like the main character is this guy Jackie Estacado. He's a mob enforcer, so he's caught in the middle of a mob war, and then there's this supernatural thing, The Darkness, that is passed down from generation to generation when he turns 21. So in the comic he's in a pretty bad spot, you know, he's not gonna make it, and then bam, hits midnight, he turns 21, and now he's got the power of The Darkness, which it's not really explained like what it is. He can grow like tentacles and kind of make beings of darkness to fight for him. He's in the first issue, he sends one to kill a mob boss. The mob boss taking a shit on the toilet, he sends the darkness thing up through the toilet and just rips him from the inside. This is the caliber of comic we're talking here, you know, just to get the ideas flown. And it's really fucking cool. What was I gonna say about this comic?
What's the art like?
The art by Mark Silvestri is very good. This is what I want to say. Top Cow, right? This is published by Top Cow. They have this universe, which is like Witchblade and stuff, which I don't read, and some other comics which I don't read, and The Darkness, which I don't read until I got this one for free. And my opinion of all Top Cow books is that the art is all about sort of posing and everyone having muscles and looking cool. And I say that the tone of my voice made me sound like I didn't like that, but I do. There's a place for it. It's very 90s. It's very 90s comic where everyone's just like, oh, look how cool I am, and punches through a wall. Oh, I'm very cool. And, you know, it ever just looks cool. Even when they're not looking, even when they're being beaten up, they still sort of look cool. So, you know, it's not really about storytelling. It's more about just looking cool. And if you're into that, then, like, Mark Silvestri is a fucking, you know, renowned artist for doing this exact thing. So if you like that stuff, he's one of the best. And just this comic is just, I was reading this and I was just laughing out loud the whole time. It's dark, it's cool, there's lots of cool fights and stuff, but it's just really funny as well. Jackie, he one of the downsides of The Darkness is that if he has sex and gets a girl pregnant, the darkness will pass on through the sperm and he'll die instantly. So he basically finds out, you know, he can't have sex, and he's like this really good looking mob enforcer who has sex with women every night. So he just like, he just falls down on his knees like, no!
Did he not use a condom?
He can, but as they're saying, like, do you know any form of protection? That's 100%. You know, because even just once and he's dead. So and he just, so that ruins the whole thing, and he's just like, oh, just kill me. But there's these, there's basically these guys who want to control the darkness, these guys who want to kill darkness, blah, 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 blah. I want to stress that this comic is really fucking good. And so I got the first two volumes. I only read the first one. I'm going to read the second one soon. But I also, on my now digital push, which I'm just going to keep talking about, I just bought a load of them. Because I just really, it's just really fucking good. I hope the rest of them is good. Or maybe I shouldn't have. Maybe I should have read just 5 comics and then bought like 20. Especially because Garth Ennis only wrote the first 5. Check that out if that sounds like me. Or better yet, buy the video game and you get like, what, it cost you €15 in Comixology for free. In the thing. These next two I'm going to review, unfortunately for the listeners, I read these like a month ago and I've kind of forgotten what's in them, and I didn't really
the best reviews.
Buddy who didn't read any comics for the last podcast or this podcast, so go fuck yourself. So Ultimate Comics Ultimates, which is the stupidest title for a comic ever, written by it's just too ultimate. Writer is Jonathan Hickman, who I met at the Irish Comic Con a couple years ago.
Yeah.
When I say met, I sort of just touched him and then ran away.
Just touched his hair when he wasn't looking.
And then just ran away crying like a little girl. And the artist is Isad Ribic. I never know how to pronounce his name. I've talked about him on the comic before. And what I would like to say about his, just I would, before I even talk about the comic,
yep,
maybe because I don't remember what happened, I'll just talk about the art. This guy can fucking draw. If the art, like, this, the art is so good, you need to take this book and you need to take each page out and you need to lick each page and then you just stick it to your naked body and then just roll around in the glory. This guy can fucking,
it's really good. Have you ever seen his art before?
Anyway? I have, yeah. I've read pretty much by everyone with his name on it, which is where I read this. He did this awesome Silver Surfer miniseries a while back. That is a comic. This, on the other hand, this guy can draw, just to get that out there. Ultimate Comics Ultimates is like the Avengers of the Ultimate Universe in Marvel Comics. So there's Thor, Captain America, Iron Man, Hawkeye. So I guess if you were excited about the Avengers movie and you wanted an Avengers comic, I mean, you're well serviced. There's like 12 fucking Avengers comics out there. But this is one of the good ones. And the general concept of Ultimate Comics Ultimates and the previous versions is like, it's just like every 6-issue arc is just sort of like a big summer blockbuster, which is crazy. Oh, fucking aliens, we all need to go kill the aliens, whatever. So in this one, just like, it's pretty cool. The Ultimates are, they're fighting, like, there's the Children of Tomorrow, who are these guys from the future who've just taken up a big chunk of land on the earth, and they're just like, just leave us alone, we're just taking this bit, there's nothing you can do to stop us, but if you just leave us alone, we won't do it. But Nick Fury, not known for leaving things alone. And then there's these guys, admittedly, this is kind of stupid, there's these guys somewhere else called the People, the People, and they found this thing called the Source, and which gives them a serum, which gives them all mutant superpowers. And
I like the way you're doing inverted commas there.
Sure.
Every time you said that, but I'm not sure if that's inferred when listening.
I thought the pause between, when I said, you know,
oh, yeah, okay,
the People with the Source. You can hear those inverted commas, I'm pretty sure. Okay. Maybe you disagree, but I think they can be heard. But anyway, also Asgard, shit goes down with Asgard, Thor isn't happy. So there's lots of shit going on. So if you like a comic where there's lots of shit going on, and you like Thor and Captain America and Iron Man and Hawkeye and Nick Fury, you could do worse. But, well, art-wise, you definitely could not do better. And then, sort of spinning off from that, I bought this comic on my dad. Ultimate Hawkeye, which is a mini-series about Hawkeye who's in the Ultimates. And this is a spin-off. This is the one that's actually talking about the People and the Source. And so it's written again by Jonathan Hickman and the art by Rafa Sandoval. We need
clearer names.
We need a pronunciation guide on this thing. That this comic is just really fucking bad. It's just if you wanted to see Hawkeye sort of looking cool for 3 issues with no story whatsoever, And then a last issue that admittedly is quite cool. Maybe you can just buy the last issue and skip the first three. Then maybe this is coming for you, but it's just really bad. The art, man, this is just fucking... I was just like, meh. That's my opinion. He can draw people in places, you know, but nothing special about it. I don't mean... I say that like it's not a talent to be able to draw people in places. I cannot draw people in places. So maybe I shouldn't say it. Maybe this guy is a better artist than I am. Rafa Sandoval. That is some high praise.
You stumble across like the eternal critics.
Yeah, yeah. But this thing just feels like... Oh, annoyingly, if you're reading Ultimate Comics, Ultimates... God, this is getting a mouthful. they reference this stuff in Ultimate Hawkeye quite a bit. So you could do... If you didn't read it, you wouldn't understand it. But it also feels like they've made four issues, like 80 pages of story that could have fit into like 8 pages in Ultimate Comic Ultimates. You know, it's just like money grabbing nonsense. So don't support it. is my opinion. And that's all the comics I've read. Do you have any comics?
I'll insert a sound effect of a tumbleweed going by there.
Yeah, sure. So. That's the end of section one or act one. Should we review? Do you want to review what we've done so far?
Oh, you know what? We could review.
Yeah.
Let's review. Actually, this is because we've both seen it. The Pirates.
Oh yeah.
In an adventure with scientists.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd like to just start by saying.
Oh sure.
There's really only one scientist, Charles Darwin.
Well, there are other scientists in it.
Sure, but I mean, like, not just, really.
They yeah,
they're
really. Kind of like extras.
And really just in one scene. There's lots of scientists.
So this is Aardman Animation's new latest movie.
Their new stop motion piece as well.
Yes, it's not CG. So they haven't, and like the last one probably was probably Wallace and Gromit for stop motion.
Yeah, because there's been Flushed Away and Art of Christmas since.
Oh yeah,
but those
yeah.
are both CG.
Obviously. Yeah, yeah.
So this boat quite good.
Yes. Yeah, so, like, what's the story?
The story is there's this pirate captain, which is his actual name. And he wants to, there's like a competition to be
for Pirate of the Year.
Pirate of the Year. And he doesn't really, while he says he likes like swashbuckling and stuff, he isn't really a good pirate. He doesn't really like fighting people that much. Or at least he's not very good at it. He talks good game.
Yes.
But when it gets to it, he isn't. But he does want to be recognized as the best pirate. And his crew all love him. And he goes to the pirate convention and Salma Hayek is a pirate and Jeremy Piven is another pirate and they're much better. And so he doesn't have the booty required. So
they accidentally, while trying to plunder another ship, they come across Charles Darwin, who realizes that the pirate captain's parrot is actually a dodo and obviously, you know, worth loads to the science community.
Yeah, yeah.
So they team up with him and try and bring the dodo back, you know, to London to a science fair, but it's hampered with danger because
the queen of the time
hates pirates.
Yeah. She's very like the queen in Blackadder.
Absolutely. So that's the storyline, but
it is one of the funniest movies I've seen in years.
Absolutely 5 stars. Yeah, I think hands down. It's really the animation, stop motion animation is great.
It looks so good.
Yeah, it does look really, really good. And you're always like, I was constantly amazed, like, because even, like, Wallace and Gromit has a kind of certain look. It does kind of have a particularly plasticine look.
Yes.
Like, really looks. These don't exactly look like that, and they have their very own distinct kind of style.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And it's just like, it just always bamboozles me, like, the amount of effort that goes into, like,
absolutely
animating stuff like that.
Because I saw Art of Christmas recently as well, and like look wise they don't look that different, you know what I mean, like it's of a similar quality. I definitely prefer the stop motion thing, but you know, they're just really, really good looking stuff.
The script is it's hilarious.
It is. It's, I like it. Funniest thing
really,
I've seen.
Really funny. just even to have like Charles Darwin as one of the like central characters. And you know, just like have running jokes about the origin of species. It's amazing. and it really didn't particularly feel like, you know, sometimes with like a family film inverted commas, you know, you really can think it could go either way. But it was very kind of Pixar-ish in that, you know,
definitely.
Anyone could watch it. And although now that I'm saying that, I remember there was a few kind of like jokes in it which I thought were particularly adult.
Oh yeah, definitely. There's a joke at the start about Brian Blessed, like his name is mentioned, and you're like, kids don't know Brian Blessed. Yeah. You know, like there's some stuff where, you know, that kind of
yeah
stuff.
There was like you know, where they're looking they're in a hot air balloon like looking down onto women's
cleavages.
Cleavage, yeah, I forget kind of the exact, but it was just like, oh
yeah.
Yeah, no, we went to see it and there was loads of adults and there was loads of kids and I think everyone was enjoying it. Everyone was in stitches.
Absolutely. The only thing, this is not a criticism, but I feel this about lots of comedy movies. I wouldn't say this is just straight up comedy. Like, I would just watch a TV series of these characters half hour. They're just so good.
An
hour and a half is not enough with these characters, which is
disappointing. Yeah, absolutely. And voice is great. Like, Hugh Grant, I thought, was particularly good. Because it doesn't say, like, he's the pirate captain and it doesn't sound particularly like Hugh Grant, I don't think.
Yeah.
So I thought, like, on that front of things, he did a really good voice.
I'd say it was his best performance.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you've seen Love Actually.
Yeah, yeah. Brendan Gleeson's in it as a pirate.
Brendan Gleeson is in it as an Irish pirate. It's amazing.
And Ashley Jensen from Extras is a girl pretended to be a boy pirate.
That is great. There's so much about it. Yeah, definitely, like, go out and see it. It's amazing. It's really, like... You won't be disappointed.
Absolutely. Okay, so on to Act 2.
Act 2.
Again, I've just put my notes on in the wrong order. Sorry, just bear with me.
I'll vamp for a minute.
Beautiful. So this week, or actually a few weeks ago, I got my hands on some made movie scripts.
Oh my God.
Including Gladiator 2. I could talk about Gladiator 2 for a while if you wanted. But for the comic cast, I got a hold of the Deadpool script. I say I got a hold of...
Yeah,
like,
it sounds like you broke into a studio.
No, I mean, just Google it. And you can read this for yourself. But if you don't want to, here's the sort of rough rundown of the Deadpool movie. Is written by... sorry, I wrote down their names. Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, who I believe did Zombieland. Together, so that'll give you a good sense of the tone in that it's quite funny but also quite violent. I saw somewhere compared to like Kill Bill meets I don't know, some kind of comedy. like Van Wilder or something, I guess. This movie is written for Ryan Reynolds, and like when I was reading the script, it is perfectly suited to Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds, of course, has played Deadpool in X-Men Origins Wolverine and died at the end, so you might wonder how could they make a Deadpool movie. Well, in the Deadpool script, X-Men Origins Wolverine is a movie that has been made, and Deadpool doesn't like it very much. And so he has like the action figure from the movie and stuff, and he's like, oh, that was the worst day of my life. And there's a bit where... And so the whole movie is filled with jokes at Hugh Jackman's expense. There's a bit where Deadpool has to disguise himself, so he rips out... There's like a People's 100 Men of the Year, and Hugh Jackman's one, and he just rips out Hugh Jackman's face and like staples it to his own face and pretends he's Hugh Jackman. It's one of the darkest comic book movies, because what happens to Deadpool and how he gets to where he is like really fucking creepy and stuff. But then it's also just filled with jokes and sort of what sound like cool action scenes. What's difficult, I guess, would be to get the mix of things right. If it would need a good director. Robert Rodriguez was meant to be doing it, but he has pulled out to do Sin City 2, I believe, which I think he's filming this summer. That's a piece of comic news inserted into the movie review section. Story-wise, just in case it does get made, I actually don't want to spoil too much, but Deadpool's fighting this guy Axel, who I guess is a bad guy from Deadpool comics. I don't actually read Deadpool comics that much. I don't mean that as an insult to people who are fans of Deadpool. I'm just not into him myself. And so the movie starts off and he's fighting, he's in this big explosion, this car chase, and then he sort of goes back and does his origin story, and then it cuts forward, so it's... It's not very linearly structured, so, which is kind of interesting, but something I don't think they would actually do. I think like True Romance, they'd actually just put it back into the right order they actually made it. It is a really good script. There's lots of weird pop culture references. Amy Winehouse is a character in this movie and appears in multiple scenes.
What?
Yeah, there's bits where he's just making jokes about drunk people, and like, at least I'm not Amy Winehouse.
Was this written like before?
Yes, it was. Okay. So they probably have to change that bit. There's like Caddyshack jokes. jokes and like just everything. Like it's like they took everything cool and weird and threw it into a pot and turned it around and burned it and pissed on it. Also, Colossus from the X-Men movies is like a major character in this, and somehow the idea of Deadpool, who is a sort of jokey character, and Colossus, who just does not take jokes. He's just big and metal and Russian and does not find him amusing in any way. Like, the greatest partnership in movies ever, potentially. So, like, they should make this movie. I don't read that many scripts, but I know you hate reading movie scripts for some reason, but I read them on occasion, and I was laughing out loud, which is something I rarely do for comic scripts, or movie scripts, not just movie comic scripts, movie scripts. Check it out. Google it. Google Deadpool script download. you'll probably find. Do you want me to tell you about Gladiator 2 really quickly?
Yeah, just go again, on.
I guess
yeah,
people
yeah.
might be interested. I won't spoil. I'll just say Gladiator ends with Maximus dying. Gladiator 2, Crank 2 style. He's not as dead as you thought.
that'd be a great tagline.
Yeah, yeah. What's the Crank 2 tagline? It was like he was dead. He got better. They could use the exact same tagline. So that was Act 2 of our comic cast.
Yes.
Do you want to reflect on? What we've done? We reviewed Pirates in a movie with scientists, and then I reviewed a Deadpool.
Sounds like we're stalling. We're trying to fill time.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's just cut on to news, and let's do a segue where I'll talk about the Muppet sequel. Have you been keeping up with this?
Yes, I have.
That Jason Segel will not be returning.
No,
in any form.
No,
but the other guys, James Bobbin.
Yeah, yeah. Nicholas. I think that's all right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. He wasn't like he was good in it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, and he was the guy behind it. He wrote. Yeah, the script with him, but I think it'll be good because it's actually really like when you think it's so interesting to see what they will do with a Muppet sequel now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like after kind of with this film, you know, like being about the Muppets coming back, like you know they don't have the opportunity to do that kind of story now again because and I mean it's a story that the Muppets constantly do every couple of years.
Sure.
You know, I mean starting out with the Muppet movie. Was that same story, how the Muppets got together. And then the next movie, the Great Muppet Caper, was an entirely different, you know, where they played characters in a movie, but kind of knowingly, like would, you know, with a wink and a nod. But then the Muppets Take Manhattan, they came back to the story of, you know, like trying to put on a show again. So you kind of feel like, so I think it'll be really interesting. Yeah. And especially because I don't think they will do, you know, when they did A Christmas Carol and it became so successful, it was kind of like, oh, well, this is what the Muppets is going to do now. So we did, they had Treasure Island.
Yeah,
So I think...
Which is just a sharp deterioration in quality.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so I'm kind of hoping, you know, it'll be kind of, you know, I see it more taking more of the Muppets from space direction only, maybe a bit funnier and better.
Absolutely. At least, like I said, these guys are staying on, which is a good sign.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not being just passed off to, like, whoever did Muppets Wizard of Oz.
Let's
talk about some news. Deacon Shalvey and Jeff Parker are writing the Thunderbolts has been renamed to Dark Avengers, I guess. Which is when Dark Avengers was out originally, it was the Thunderbolts were the Dark Avengers. So it has been changed to that again, which is cool, I guess. I mean it is cool. So when the Avengers movie comes out, well, a couple months after that, Deacon Shalvey will have his name on a Dark Avengers comic book, and I bet Declan Shalvey is raging. Yeah, I know, but jokes aside, yeah, that's awesome. So good stuff, Declan. Jonathan Ross and Brian Hitch are signing their new comic, America's Got Powers, issue 1, in the Big Bang in Dundrum. Mm-hmm. On April 21st, that's Jonathan Ross.
Yes.
The TV host
slash
comic writer. Not the other Jonathan Ross.
We'll be trying to get an interview.
Will we?
Yes.
Are we actually going to try that?
Yes.
Hmm.
But
wait, which one? Brian Hitcher or John Ross?
Like both, since they'll both be here.
Sure.
Might as well.
I should probably finish John Ross's first comic book.
I probably should have talked about that off air, in case we don't.
Absolutely.
But we'll be definitely trying.
Other news. Frank and Weenie, there's a trailer out for that.
Oh, wow.
Tim Burton, it looks really good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Is this like Nightmare Before Christmas in that it's not directed by...
I believe so. I believe that
is... Because Corpse Bride was directed by Tim Burton, was it? Or was it
I thought Henry did that as well.
Okay, really?
I'm not 100%. Okay. He definitely... I'm sure he's involved in the stop motion part.
Yeah.
But I thought he did the actual direction. I think it's like Nightmare Before Christmas, where it's like Tim Burton's Corpse Bride, not by Tim Burton. But I'm not 100% on
that. Okay.
Please correct me. So Frankenweenie, again, I didn't actually check this. I just assumed it was, is it Henry Selick? Harry Selick?
Yeah, it's Henry Selick.
I just assumed it was him again.
Oh yeah, no, it probably is. Anyway, it looks sure. really good.
Like, you've seen the short movie, the original, haven't
you? Yes, yeah.
And that does really good. So yeah. It's a good concept for, it could definitely be stretched out.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, because I was thinking, like, I mean, Dark Shadows, Tim Burton's.
Oh yeah, that looks actually really good as well.
Yeah, it does look great. Like, so Dark Shadows, for if anyone doesn't know about it, like, apparently was like a long running TV soap opera on American TV that just went on for
no way
forever, like, and but it was just kind of like Days of Our Lives, only they just happened to be vampires and stuff, and it just sounds amazing.
Yeah
it just sounds so crazy, and it was it apparently ran for years and years and years.
Get my hands on that.
So, like, I mean, just Tim Burton making a movie out of it just is gonna be great.
Have you seen the trailer for it?
It looks really good.
In case you don't know what Frankenweenie is, we should probably just say it's about a boy whose dog dies, and he sort of brings him back to life, Frankenstein style, but he's a dog.
Yes, and I should just briefly, if you want to find out more about Dark Shadows, that is the name of it.
It is Dark Shadows.
There's an episode of actually This American Life about like a guy who goes to a Dark Shadows convention.
Oh yeah,
and it's amazing. anyway, what That's else awesome. We got?
I don't have much else. The Apple iBookstore is now selling digital comics. I don't know if I've mentioned digital comics this episode.
Today's episode was sponsored by digital comics.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where I got the Captain America hoodie. What else? There are a ton of Avengers trailers out. I don't know if you've seen any of the more recent ones. I think it looks good. You're wrong.
Yeah. I mean, no, it does. Yeah.
Interestingly, the Avengers are in that movie, which is what you can, trailer doesn't give a lot away. You know, which I like. You know, I still don't really know what those things he's fighting they are fighting, which is cool. What other news? I'm just rolling through this. Some of this news I wrote down, but I don't even feel like I'm speaking it. Brian Michael Bendis is leaving the Avengers and joining X-Men. Everybody probably knows that. Brian Michael Bendis is also making, there's been these posters for Spider-Man, multiple Spider-Man.
Philip Barrett has a new book that is coming out from O'Brien Press.
Oh yeah.
It's called
Our friends at O'Brien Press.
Yes. It's called Where's Larry?
Oh yeah.
And it's a Where's Wally type.
Oh yeah.
only with Larry the Leprechaun. And O'Brien Press put out a PDF spread up on their blog, and this particular one page was of a St. Patrick's Day parade on O'Connell Street, and I have to tell you, it is amazing. Yeah. Like, just like, obviously we're big fans of like Phil's like art, but it is really good. It's like, and it's full of his kind of humor, you know, and especially that's what's so great about, like, you know, it's a full page spread and there's a million things going on and there's like all sorts of like weird funny little like stuff going on when you know, when you have a look for it. So I think it'll be good.
That's awesome.
And it's full color as well. Yeah, so it's even better. I think it's coming out till June. We'll talk to Phil in the meantime on the show, but definitely we'll link that up on the blog.
It's actually like a Where's Wally book, is that correct? Like,
yeah,
that's the style.
Yes, yeah,
I hope at the end, in sort of, I don't want to say Phil Barrett style, because he does lots of different stories, but I hope, like, some of his stories, it has a dark and depressing end.
That'd be amazing.
Just like, I don't know, Wally's hung himself or something. That's where he's Larry. Sorry. Trademark infringement. yeah sorry, Larry Leprechaun. Yeah. Not Wally to Wally.
Or Waldo for our American listeners.
Sure. I feel like I have another piece of news on the tip of my brain. I do. Here it is. On bleedingcool.com, where I've stolen all these news items from. Especially the Deacon Shelby mentioned. They have this amazing thing where they've linked to it. It's on another site, which I spent an hour reading yesterday. This interview with Alan Moore, just about Watchmen and like what went on, just like an 8-page interview, like from start to finish. Okay, so what happened in 1982, you know, or whatever, 1989, to now, and it is amazing. He is so angry, and he's cut off ties with like pretty much everyone. It's amazing, like stuff I didn't know, like him and Dave Gibbons no longer friends over the Watchmen thing, because he's saying DC were using. Like he said, you know, even after DC screws over Watchmen, you know, him and Dave Gibbons were good friends, but DC were using Dave Gibbons to give him offers. So DC would say, you ring up Alan Moore and say, we'll give him the rights back to the original Watchmen if he says, gives us the okay to do the sequels or whatever. And he's like, oh no, the DC guys know they're really good now, you know, they're going to give you rights. And he's like, Dave, just we can't talk about Watchmen anymore, we just won't be friends.
Oh my God.
It's crazy stuff. And him and Oh, yeah, he just hates everyone. David Lloyd, the guy he did V for Vendetta with, they're no longer friends because when the movie came out, David Lloyd took the money and was apparently talking some shit about Alan Moore and so. Yeah, so if you're interested in Alan Moore, watch. I like definitely take it with a pinch of salt. There's some stuff in it where he even says himself, like, maybe this is just me being paranoid. But he's like, oh, DC offered work to a friend of mine and then took it away because I wouldn't do stuff. And you're like, maybe they just... I don't know. Like, it was like a novelization for Watchmen. Like, maybe they just decided not to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's definitely taken with a pinch of salt. Yep. It's definitely his own crazy view. There's a YouTube video going around of him reading a chapter from his new book, Jerusalem, which is an actual novel, which is huge. And it's like chapter 23, and he's just like, so you won't know who any of these characters are, and you won't understand it, but here you go. But it's definitely a good half hour. I can't wait for that book, mainly because he's promised me, personally, that... he has got proof that there is an afterlife, and that will be in the book.
Oh, that's amazing.
And you know, if you've read
what from are Hell, his religious convictions, does he have?
He's a magician. I don't know what his.
Sorry, I asked.
Yeah. I don't know what his religious beliefs are, but I can't wait to find out if there's an afterlife. Because for years I didn't know who Jack the Ripper was, and then I read From Hell, and Alan Moore figured it out. You know, maybe he's figured out the afterlife.
Okay,
and there's no man better for it. That's all the news, unless you have it.
Nope.
Comics. You should read some comics for
next. Yeah, I know. Definitely. Next one, I will definitely read some comics.
Are there any comics on the horizon you're looking forward to?
There's loads. There's Yoshihiro Tatsumi has a new comic coming out. But they've all kind of, all the comics I'm waiting for aren't out for about 2 months.
Sure. Which is about the amount of time between this podcast and next.
Yes, that's true. So I'll have them all done by then. So I guess we'll be back in 2 weeks with an interview with... God only knows who.
Jonathan Ross. And
Jonathan Ross, hopefully. Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Well, that's actually not for 4 weeks.
So. All right. Okay. Well, then it won't be Jonathan Ross.
Yeah.
It probably won't be Jonathan Ross anyway. I really should stop saying Jonathan Ross.
Jonathan Ross. yeah, absolutely. Cool. Okay. Thanks for tuning in. Downloading.
We never say this, but we should. I mean, you should like us on Facebook.
Oh, yes.
We have a Facebook page. It's all sparkly and new. Mm. We've changed over to the exciting new Facebook timeline that everyone's given out about. Mm. Just stop moaning.
People, every time Facebook I want Facebook back the way it was. But you didn't even like Facebook the way it was.
Yes, exactly.
Just fuck up.
It's so annoying. Because when that timeline was introduced, when it first popped up and said, you can switch now, it was just switch now.
Yeah,
and then just be done with it. But, and actually, that's what's really frustrating. What's really annoying me is that, like, and you did the same, like, I think as soon as it came up, which was a couple of months ago.
Yeah, it was well before Christmas.
It was changed. But, like, so obviously, it hasn't been enforced yet for everyone.
Yeah.
So you're kind of only starting to hear people complain about it now.
I'm so used to it. Like,
It's like someone complaining about something that happened, you know, months ago.
It's like someone going out about the Holocaust or whatever. Get over it.
Anyway, so like our Facebook page. We are on Twitter at The Comic Cast.
Yeah.
On Facebook, we're facebook.com/TheComicCast.
It's very easy.
Yeah, it's very easy peasy.
And feel free to email us at thecomiccast@gmail.com. I would love to have a reader's letters section. Like, even just stupid letters. Like, anything. Just like, what would win the fight?
I think people used to send us emails, and then we used to make fun of them on the show.
Yeah, we did.
You did.
But we could continue to do that.
Yeah, yeah. So, we won't make fun of your letter. Just
write in your letter and put your sister's name on it, and we'll make fun of your sister on there. It's a service we've written. Or, you know, give us a number, and we'll you know.
Wine a diner.
We'll give her some of the sweet comic ass love, which is take her to a comic reading, and then walk her home nervously, and...
Don't hold masturbate her about her later.
Did you see that thing about that Coney guy masturbating in public?
I've seen there's a video on TMZ of him of him just like naked. It's from someone's like window and he's just out and there's loads of, he's out by like a road, like, and his car's driving by and he's just naked and he's just like shouting and ranting like a madman. It was just so perfect. Coney, I haven't even watched that video.
Yeah, neither
just
do I.
Like,
I'm too hipster. I'm too hipster for to be hipster enough to watch that video.
Anyway,
post hipster. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Toodle pip. Wah bam baloo mam blam bam bam toodle poot. Oh roo. 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 Oh wah bam baloo mam blam bam bam. I got a girl named Sue. She knows just what to do. To the east, to rock to the west, but she's the gal that I love best.
know what you do to me, Tootie Fruity. Oh, Rudy. 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 Pop, pop, bop, bop. Indeed, boy, you don't know what you do to me, Tootie Fruity.